It's not that people with a second language in our country are rare exactly, but they are very much in a minority. By several counts, about 1 in 5 Americans can speak a second language. The group we assembled in this segment challenged that numerically and philosophically. We have 4 students from Southern Oregon University who are dedicated to learning foreign languages and would like to see more people share their dedication. Our guests are Coco Palacios, an SOU senior. Coco, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
It's good to have you here. Micah Mills is the only junior in the group. Welcome, Micah.
Thank you for having me.
Oriana Alter is with us. She is a senior and the only foreign language major here, a Spanish major. Thank you for joining us, Oriana.
Thank you.
And Claire Foster Dow is with us as well, also a senior. Hi, Claire.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So we talked about Oriana being the only one majoring in foreign language, and then the number of majors at the university is not apparently great in number. Is that right? Oriana, you know something about this.
Yeah, it depends every year. This year there's not been that many, but last year they had quite a number, I think around 10 or so.
All right, so the number of majors is actually reduced recently at Southern Oregon University.
Yes, but it's just it just fluctuates a little bit from year to year. Next year there'll be more as well.
Okay, I'm not talking about numbers of students. I'm talking about actually numbers of programs. I mean, there aren't that many chances to major in foreign language at Southern Oregon. Is that right?
At the moment, we have a Spanish major, and that's it.
Mm-hmm. And so let's talk about the motivation for all of you in learning foreign languages. Claire, you're closest. Why don't you start off?
Sure, yeah. I started learning foreign languages pretty early on. My mom and my dad have always been really big on learning foreign languages early for brain development as well as just cultural awareness. So I started actually in a French preschool, and then I studied Mandarin for about 8 years. And then I started studying French in high school. I did a Rotary Youth Exchange, and I just really fell in love with the process. And I was kind of good at it, so I kept going. And, yeah, that's just how I ended up doing languages. And it was just something that really fit naturally with what I like to do.
French, Mandarin, have you picked up any other bits and pieces along the way?
Not so much, no.
Mm-hmm. And when you're talking about languages that are so different as French and Mandarin, mm-hmm. are there any basic rules that help you when you're learning another language to fall back on the other? I mean, do you notice any similarities?
Not really. I think it's just important to keep them very separate and approach them as individuals as opposed to trying to find too much common ground, especially at the beginning, because then it just opens you up to a little bit more confusion. But I did have a point in time where I would kind of mix up the different Mandarin versus French versus English. So I was translating my notes in my Mandarin classes into French and then back into English because for some reason that just made sense. Or maybe I just wanted to be cool. I don't know. But yeah, there was a lot of mishmash in there.
No doubt. That is impressive. Micah Mills, tell us about what got you interested in languages.
Yeah, that's actually pretty similar. I didn't have as much, but my parents were always super for us learning foreign languages. When I was 10 or 11 years old, I traveled to Brazil by myself through a Rotary foreign exchange. I stayed there for 4 weeks with a family. And then I did a French foreign exchange when I was a sophomore. And so language has just always been like a big thing in my life. And I've started learning French when I was a freshman in high school. And the moment that like we did the foreign exchange, I just fell in love with the process and I fell in love with the country of France. So since then, my like biggest goal has been to get back there and be able to live there for a year. So
that is your plan for after
getting to
college? Yeah,
I'm actually going this coming August. I'm going to be going to France for a year to study abroad. So it's, you know, realizing my dreams and making them a reality, which has been awesome.
How nervous are you about having to function in an educational setting with a language that is not your primary one?
I'm really excited about not being sure how it's going to go. So I know that it's not going to be perfect, but I'm really excited for it. And I'm excited to learn. And like just this past, since I've decided I was going to do it, all the minute details in English that I understand where somebody puts the letter for and you understand that means for the word. And I can't wait to like learn those little nuances in French. So I'm really excited about it.
So you want to learn French idioms and stuff? You want to be able to basically do French slang?
I want to be able to do it. I want to be as fluent in French as I am in English. That's my goal.
Coco Palacios, talk about your interest in you. Do you speak French and German in addition to English?
Yes, I do. In the house growing up, we kind of spoke a little bit of French, a little bit of Spanish here and there. And I always just had an interest in international cultures. And I started learning Spanish when I was in middle school. That didn't really stick. But in high school, I started French and then continued French through college. and then started German once I got into college as well.
So you're planning on doing something with foreign language when you were done with college?
I'm planning on, well, I did a 2-year study abroad during my time here at SOU in Germany. So I'm planning on continuing on in Germany, continuing my studies there.
All right. So German and French, and you have a little bit of Spanish, you're saying?
Not so much. That's kind of, gone to the side a little bit, but... That's my next one.
Okay. We're talking to foreign language students at Southern Oregon University, Coco Palacios, Micah Mills, Claire Foster Dow, and Oriana Alter. And you can join us on the Jefferson Exchange as we talk about learning foreign languages and foreign language education, 800-838-3760, by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Oriana, let's come back to you and talk about your motivation in learning foreign languages.
Sure. So I've always been exposed to foreign languages. My parents immigrated to the United States. My mom's from South Africa, so from an early age was something that was there. And when I was in high school, I had the opportunity to travel to Ecuador in South America, and that kind of opened up the world of learning Spanish and being able to see a new culture, a new perspective of the world. It was a really amazing experience, and that definitely shaped the person I am today. So
when all of you think about, I was looking at some numbers here about data from the Modern Language Association show that 651 foreign language programs shut down at American universities between 2013 and 2016. Is this a surprise to any of you?
No, not really.
I wish it wasn't.
Yeah, I wish it weren't. Yeah, it's sad for sure, but it's not so surprising given like even our own experience here at SOU seeing that happen.
So there has been some limitation in the program just since you've been here?
Just a little bit, yeah. And I mean, it's natural and things are complicated and I get that. But it is sad that there's not a little bit more of a push for foreign language because it's such a valuable thing to be able to study and to be able to learn.
So you have on campus French, German, Japanese, Mandarin, and American Sign Language, or Spanish too.
I don't think Mandarin's here anymore.
No, we don't have Mandarin anymore.
We have Japanese though.
Yeah, Japanese we still have.
All right, so the French, Mandarin, Spanish...
We have French, German, Japanese, Spanish, and American Sign Language.
Thank you. I was losing my track there.
Fine, you're good.
So what kind of discussions have there been with the university administration about the foreign language offerings, and how active have any of you been in trying to provide some of that pressure? In fact, Oriana, why don't we take this to you again, because you work in the Department of World Languages, right?
Yes, that's correct. Just a few weeks back, there was a language roundtable to try to foster awareness on campus of the language departments and the benefits of learning another language. Also, the chair of the language department, Dr. Connor, she just went to a conference a few weeks ago in New York to see what other universities are doing to expand their language programs.
Mm-hmm. So talk about the experiences that any of you have when we tell people that you take courses in foreign languages, because it seems like a fairly constant American reaction is like, oh, God, that sounds hard. And I just wonder if that's something you've heard a fair amount, Coco?
What I've heard more about is that more people in the world are speaking English. So I hear a lot of people are resistant to learning another language because English is becoming more international. But I've noticed that it's primarily in urban areas and university cities where we see English around the world, but in more rural and traditional areas, there's still like the home language there. And things like Google Translate and stuff like that, I think it creates a little bit of a disconnect, whereas like learning someone else's language shows respect and creates a connection.
So, yeah. And even going off that, like with languages, English being spoken in bigger cities, I was in Grenoble just in March. And that's Grenoble, France. And that's a pretty decent sized city. It's probably a little bit bigger than Ashland, I'd say.
Hosted the Olympics in 1968.
Yeah, they did. They have like a really cool mountain fort. It's really cool. But they have like 5 universities there. It's a really big university town. And I was taking my train from Grenoble to Paris to take my flight home back to the States. And I like looked up the day before. I was going to get some food before the train because it left at 6:58. I still remember. And so I was like, all right, I'm going to go get some food. And then I showed up to the place and it was closed until like 30 minutes later. So I was going to make like getting to the train really stressful. Mm-hmm. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to do it. I got everything ready, went back, got my food, showed up at the train station at 6:54 and the train was leaving when I got there. So it left 4 minutes early. And I was freaking out because I'm in, you know, I've never had this happen. I'm always on time. Uh-huh. That's just like not who I am. So I had to go to the train conductor like office and I had to explain the whole situation to them in French. And this is a, you know, university city. It's, you know, people speak English in university cities, you know, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. But I was there and he didn't speak like any English at all. And I had to explain the whole situation in mm-hmm. French. And I had to tell him that my plane was leaving at noon and it was 8 o'clock and it's a 3-hour train ride. So I had to do all of that in French. And like 1000%, if I didn't speak French, I would have missed my flight. I would have had to maybe pay like the airline more money because they would have found it out as my fault for missing the train. So without having that French background and telling him like I did everything I could the day before to prepare for it, I showed up early for my train. Like it left 4 minutes early. It's not my fault. They're like, oh, you're going to have to pay for it. And I was like, no, like I'm not paying for it. Like it's your fault. And like we ended up like coming to an agreement where he like talked to the train conductor and got me on the fast train. So it goes like 200 kilometers per hour straight from Grenoble to Paris. But then I still had to take a metro from Paris to the airport. And as I was talking, his name was Guy. Uh-huh. As I was talking to Guy, a lady heard us as we were talking about, like, I'm going to have to get a metro ticket. And she offered me her metro ticket. She had one. And she's mm-hmm. like, oh, you're going to Paris. Like, I heard what, you know, kind of what you're saying. Here's a ticket.
So this is a story of you having a fluency or at least ability to navigate in another language that made a difference in your life.
Yeah, 1000%. I would have been late, had to pay more money, and not my cup of tea to pay more money than I have to.
So we're again talking to Micah Mills, Coco Palacios, Oriana Alter, and Claire Foster Dow, language students at Southern Oregon University, about foreign languages and their value. And you just heard some of that from Micah. Oriana, you're graduating very soon and going to finish your education or do more education anyway at the SOU's sister school in Mexico. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so I'm going to leave in about a month to complete a semester of study abroad in Guanajuato, Mexico. It's a really exciting opportunity. Part of the requirement for completing a Spanish major at SOU is participating in work experience in the community, and I'm going to complete that in Mexico. I've been offered the opportunity to work with other Mexican students, and they're doing a project that focuses on preventing drug consumption in at-risk communities. So that's a very interesting experience. And to go, like with Micah was saying, there's a lot of need for foreign language when you travel abroad, but also in the United States, there's a lot of foreign language in our area. We have a lot of Spanish immigrants, and it's really useful in every country that you're in.
And so what is it like to make a case for foreign language learning when, in addition to the things you want to learn, there's also pressure to learn a job that will be existing in the economy in a few years? I mean, you have to consider that as you're getting an expensive college education, too. So, I mean, how have you made the case to yourself and to your whoever's helping pay for your education about the value of foreign language?
Claire? Yeah, I think that really the basis of foreign language learning and the benefits is that it just opens up a lot of different doors and a lot of different opportunities for you because you're able to communicate effectively with different people and more people than you would be able to just in your native language. So even studying at a very small level or at a very low level a foreign language, having a familiarity with it and proving that A, you've studied it, and B, that you're willing to learn and you're adaptable and flexible, those skills translate beyond just a language ability. It translates into many other parts of a job, being adaptable, being willing to be kind of vulnerable and definitely mess up, and just being okay with that. So I think that foreign language really is the best way, and immersion foreign language especially, is the best way to teach yourself those skills through a different medium and learn how to speak another language at the same time.
And I think it was you, Coco, who said something about how it shows respect for people when you try to speak their language. Mm-hmm. But you've had, I imagine it's certainly humbling too to try to speak the language and certainly to learn it along the way.
It's extremely humbling, yes, because you have to learn to let go of any judgments on yourself and perfectionism about pronunciation, grammar, misunderstandings, and just focus on communicating. And then it also really gave me a better understanding of those who are learning English and trying to start their lives in the U.S. because I saw how much of a challenge that was. And yeah, like you said, that was very humbling.
I noticed that in other parts of the world, it seems like about 43% of the world population has a second language. In America, that's about 20%. Mm-hmm. And I just wonder what your thoughts are about that, about you guys being certainly a minority.
It's definitely a little bit embarrassing to be traveling abroad and to meet these kids. A lot of times I was a language assistant at a French high school, and a lot of these kids had three or four languages under their belt already. And here I am walking in so proud with my two languages, which is an awesome accomplishment. Like, don't get me wrong. It's all valuable. But just seeing the emphasis that it was put on foreign language learning and their ability to communicate with me better than I could communicate with them in their language, it definitely was humbling. And it took a second to be okay with that, because, you know, you want to be smarter or better or more adult than people younger than you, yet they still speak more fluently than you do. So being okay with that.
So, Micah, you're going to be studying in France again?
Is that right? Correct.
Okay. And we talked about Oriana studying in Guanajuato. Coco, you're going to be going off to Berlin, is that right?
Yes, for a master's in international affairs.
And we haven't talked about what you're going to be doing, Claire. You actually have a job lined up for the next 2 years?
I do, yes. So I accepted a position with the Jesuit Volunteer Corps. It's similar to the Peace Corps. And they placed me in Dar es Salaam, Tanzania. So I'll be a high school teacher there for 2 years. And I'll also be the community volunteer outreach coordinator for that high school as well. I don't know what I'm going to be teaching yet, but I did get that job lined up. I'm very excited about it.
That's amazing. So 2 years in Tanzania.
Yeah.
Right. So you'll be learning some Swahili in addition to the English you already have.
That's the hope. Yeah. I mean, I think that was part of the reason that they let me have that placement, was because I expressed such an interest in a language, and B, Swahili specifically. So it was a cool thing.
So what advice would you have? I'm going to ask advice on two tracks here. Number one, advice for people thinking of learning foreign languages. And then the other track is advice for universities that want to offer foreign languages but are kind of strapped on budgets. Thoughts on either one of those, many of you?
So for the first one, you're going to mess up, and you just have to be okay with it. I think you're not going to be perfect at it right away. And if you are, good for you.
Yeah.
But you're going to have to be comfortable with making mistakes. And I mean, I'm 3-4 years in now, and I still make mistakes, and it bothers me. But that pain or whatever that you feel of like messing up should like drive you forward to keep trying to get better at it.
Oriana?
Yeah, for advice for universities, employers are looking for employees who do know a second language. That's really a strong asset. So universities need to make that a topic of awareness in their student communities and show the value and the benefits for Americans to learn another language.
Grab your headphones, because we have a call here, and I want to let people know that we're going to take a couple more minutes with our foreign language students. We're talking to Oriana Alter, Claire Foster Dow, Micah Mills, and Coco Palacios. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email jx@jeffnet.org. Here's a call from Lane in Medford. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Hi. So I took Spanish in high school, but I didn't remember it. But I served overseas, so I picked up Korean in Korea and some Japanese. But then I really like learning from native speakers, because I go into Food for Less or Wincore, and then I hear somebody speaking in another language. If I recognize it, they say Russian, then I start talking to them in Russian, and I pick up more language that way. And it is extremely valuable and interesting to be able to open a window to another world by speaking their language. So.
Oh. All right. Thanks for that, Lane. Appreciate it. So Coco, I want to bring that to you, because you've had to work in a couple of cultures or deal in a couple of cultures where you were speaking a language that wasn't your own. And how different was the language on the ground versus what you'd learned in the classroom?
Oh, totally different. It's one thing learning a language, and it's another thing speaking it. It definitely pushed me to get out of my comfort zone and to learn how to just let go and try to communicate.
And so when you were dealing with Guy in Grenoble, are you really at the outer limits of what your French could handle on a conversational basis?
I mean, it wasn't anything like super duper complicated. I mean, it wasn't easy for sure.
Right.
And I think the biggest thing is you're used to like just the way your mouth holds speaking English, it's different when you're speaking French. So like after that much like intense conversation, like even in English, if I was in somewhere, you know, in America and that was happening, that'd be pretty stressful. Mm-hmm. But to add on to that, like being in French, it just like changed. Like my mouth was a little sore, like my head hurt more because it's like I had to think a lot more than like normal.
Using muscles and parts of your brain.
Yeah, 100%. But it was like afterwards, it felt so accomplishing, like the headache was worth it, you know?
Yeah, you made your flight. That's always the great bottom line of that story. So for Claire and Oriana, what recommendations would you have for people who are thinking, well, I want to major in a language, but I would take one?
No, I'd just say do it. I think that's one of the greatest things that you – one of the greatest gifts you can give yourself as both an intellectual and academic and just someone who is going to live in the world. You know, you just having that ability, and even if it's a very low ability, like Coco was saying, it does show a respect for a culture. And even if you just learn how to say, hi, hello, how are you, in a business context when you're networking or if you're at a big event, just going up to someone and saying those three things, even if you have no other languages, ability, that shows to them, hey, they're trying. So that's what I would say. Lean into it.
And Oriana, for people who are non-majors, the idea of taking a foreign language.
Yeah, it's a very empowering experience. And to be able to, after spending hours and hours of dedication and hard work, to be able to finally understand and be able to communicate with another person in their language is, wow, it's a really amazing experience. Also, just remember that there's different levels of fluency. You don't have to be the know every word. You don't have to be able to pronounce every word correctly, but you just have to get your message across, and people appreciate that. They really think that's wonderful.
Yeah, I've noticed if you like in Montreal, if you say bonjour to, they think you know the language and start speaking to you. It's like, no, sorry, I speak mostly English. I just want to say hello well. But yeah, value there for sure. Mm-hmm. So thank you all for joining us today. Coco Palacios, Micah Mills, Oriana Alter, and Claire Foster Dow. Only Micah is a junior, but going to spend the next year in France anyway. So
correct.
All departing from Ashland from here. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us here.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much.
All right, take care.